Thank you, Carl. I'm now going to invite back Shannon Scott from the New Zealand Civil Aviation Authority, who's going to talk about the domestic ETS scheme in New Zealand.
Well, thanks once again to ICAO for the invitation to come and give a presentation here on the New Zealand Emissions Trading Scheme. I'm going to particularly focus today on transportation and aviation's inclusion in this scheme. I should also point out that I'm presenting this presentation on behalf of my colleagues at the Ministry of Transport. It's them and not actually me who are the experts on transport's inclusion in the scheme, but I'll do my best today. So first, some context. New Zealand has a fairly unique emissions profile among developed countries, in that nearly half of our emissions actually come from agriculture, and these are mainly from methane and nitrous oxide. And this compares with most other OECD economies, emissions from agriculture typically make up around 10% of total greenhouse gas emissions. In our 2008 emissions inventory, which is the latest one available, domestic transportation made up a total of 19.2% of total emissions, and aviation, that's domestic aviation, was 1.3%. It's important to note that in line with the Kyoto Protocol, our inventory and emissions trading scheme only covers domestic emissions and doesn't include emissions from international transport, whether that be aviation or maritime transport. Of course, we have no international road transport. However, it's very easy for us to account for this difference, as any fuel sold for domestic use has a goods and services tax that's added to the price, whereas fuel for international transportation does not. So it's very easy to calculate which is fuel used for domestic use and which is for international. So I'll try to take you through how the scheme works in a fairly high-level sense. The scheme includes a range of sectors which will enter the scheme at different times, as our colleague from the UNFCCC said this morning. Forestry has already entered as of 1st of January 2008, so we're already up and running in that sector. Transport fuel suppliers will enter on 1st of July this year, together with electricity producers and industrial processors, and waste and agriculture enter in later years. Firms participating in the ETS must hold and then later surrender to the government an equivalent number of emissions units to match the emissions that they're responsible for. Firms can buy New Zealand emissions units, or they can buy internationally available emissions units on the commercial trading market. Businesses in some sectors will be eligible to receive assistance from the government in the form of free emissions units. And this is to help them to make necessary changes to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And I'll cover that in a little bit more detail later on. So this diagram gives an overview of how the scheme works for different sectors. At the top there, an oil company which sells fuel during the year has to buy emissions units to cover emissions that result from when the fuel they sell is used. And at the end of the year, it then surrenders those units to the government. The second one is a forester. During the year, they plant some trees and they lock up carbon in those trees, and they can receive units for doing that. Then they can choose to hold on to those units, perhaps as an investment, or to sell them. And in the third example, they're an industrial firm. Now, they might receive a free allocation from the government to cover some of their emissions. And during the year, if they, say, install new plant which reduces their emissions, they might end up with a surplus of units, which they can then also sell. So now focus on the transport sector. Who are the participants? From the 1st of July 2010, all of the participants are those large fossil fuel suppliers, which are those that are importing fuel or removing fuel from the refinery at more than 50,000 litres per year. Now, they have to purchase emission units from the government, or rather on the market, to cover emissions that will result from the fuel that they sell. So the point of this kind of upstream approach, which is requiring the fuel suppliers to meet these obligations rather than the consumers and transport companies, is to minimise the compliance and administration costs of the scheme. So and then, as we'd expect, the fuel suppliers would then pass on the cost of these emission units to their customers. The scheme also allows large domestic purchasers of fuel, such as jet fuel, and example here would be airlines, to voluntarily opt into the scheme. And if they do this, then they take on all the legal obligations that would otherwise be held by the fuel supplier. And so far, only Air New Zealand has opted into the scheme. So consumers or transport companies and aircraft operators generally will not directly participate in the scheme. However, as I said, you'll see the effects of the scheme through marginally higher fuel prices at the pump. So which are the fuels under the scheme? All of the obligation fuels under the scheme are all the liquid fossil fuels. That's petrol, automotive and marine diesel, jet fuel, avgas, light and heavy fuel oils. All fuels are included, so effectively anybody purchasing fuel in New Zealand will be exposed to the price on carbon through slightly higher fuel prices. However, there are several exemptions from the scheme. First of all, as you would expect, fuels that aren't combusted when they're used, such as solvents and lubricants. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, fuel that's used for international aviation and maritime transport. And thirdly, biofuels are also exempted. The details of the methodology and all of the emissions factors that are used for calculating emissions are all written into the legislation, and you can find this on the New Zealand legislation website if you're interested. In the first 2.5 years of the scheme, there will be a capped emissions price and lowered obligations for participants in the transport sector. This will take the form of an emissions price cap of 25 New Zealand dollars per tonne of CO2 equivalent, and a requirement for participants to surrender only one emissions unit for every 2 tonnes of emissions. So putting it very, very simply, it's kind of like a 50% discount. But then from the 1st of January 2013, liquid fossil fuel prices will then reflect the cost of emission units on the international market. And we'd expect in the long term the prices of emissions will be factored into all goods and services across the economy. As a result of the scheme, there will of course be some increases to fuel prices. From the 1st of July this year, liquid fossil fuel prices are expected to increase by about 3 cents per litre. This is the, as I said, the maximum price increase for the first 2.5 years of the scheme, with the cap on the carbon prices. So this table gives a few different scenarios looking into the future for different prices. I won't go through it right now, but if you download the presentation later, then you can probably have a look at the details. But just for comparison, the current price of 91 octane petrol at the pump is around $1.81 New Zealand, so we'd be looking about $1.84 for petrol after the 1st of July. I mentioned free allocation of some units before. Some sectors, such as energy-intensive industrial processes, will receive a free allocation of emission units from the government. And this will happen where there's some concern that a carbon price might cause production from these sectors that are exposed to international trade to shift from New Zealand to economies where there isn't an equivalent carbon pricing regime. However, the domestic transportation sector doesn't fit this category, so we expect that the cost of all the emissions units will be passed on to consumers via higher fuel prices, higher fares, perhaps higher freight charges. Although, as we saw on the previous slide, these impacts will be limited in the first 2.5 years of the scheme. So I hope this has given you a bit of a flavour of how our ETS will work. If you like further information on the scheme, please feel free to look up the New Zealand Government Climate Change website. There's quite a range of details and facts on the ETS and implications for different sectors. And if you have any detailed questions, I'm going to pass the buck to my colleague here, Jan Schertzer. at the Ministry of Transport. He's the expert on transportation and the ETS. So please feel free to send him an email or give him a call. But thank you very much for your time.